Hello and welcome to this week's P&E chat. Dave Sen and Adam Lord. 3 o'clock Thursday.
Technical issues.
A lack of Ian.
We've no cameraman today. We've no cameraman. We're doing it sort of ad hoc, aren't we?
Ad hoc. So yeah, talking all things Preston North End. As ever, we'll just start on the week that was. Mm-hmm. Are there positive signs? Are there signs of life?
For a few minutes, we were at Sheffield United. Once we got there. There were certainly a lot more against Middlesbrough in the cup tie midweek, but it's still, obviously, they're still leaking goals left, right and centre at the moment, which is the main concern. But from a goal-scoring point of view, definitely signs are going in the right direction, but they're going to be scoring these goals. They need to keep the back door shut, don't they?
That is, I mean, all the talk has been of centre-forwards and, well, lack of centre-forwards, shall we say. But the issue is at the back, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, the you know, they're saying, you know, Sheffield United last week, you know, they drag it back from 2-0 down to 2-2, only to concede one, you know, a few minutes later. Against Middlesbrough, a similar pattern, got 1-0 up. Borough equalised within 8 minutes, got 2-1 up. You know, Borough equalised 3 minutes later. It's sort of as you know, not just conceding, but it's conceding quite quickly after scoring as well, which is a bit of a concern. Is that game management or a lack of concentration, just feeling good about themselves that they scored and then, you know, just turning off slightly? So, no, plenty to work on, but maybe not quite as gloomy picture as it was sort of this time last week, I would have thought.
No, and it looked like positives. It was a strong league cup side, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Expect most of that side to play on Saturday?
Yeah, I would, certainly. You look at it, you probably, well, Darnell Fisher was suspended for it. You think he might come back in at right back. Ben Davis, I think, got rested to allow Jordan Story a game. You probably think on the balance of things and how regularly he plays, he'll come back into contention. But I wouldn't be looking, you know, if I were Alex Neil, I wouldn't be looking to do any more than a couple of changes anyway. You know, yes, fair enough, North End, they did. Well, they drew the 90 minutes against Middlesbrough, lost on penalties. So on the back of that, I wouldn't be looking to change too much, really. Obviously, you've got to take into account North End are playing West Bromwich Albion on Saturday, the Championship's top scorers. And obviously, you know, former Premier League side who are looking decent, so that has to be borne in mind. But no, I'd go pretty similar to Tuesday's side, to be fair.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, isn't it, to decide who is going to play and who's not. Mm-hmm. How big a boost was having Ben Pearson back?
Made a big difference, I thought. I think the fact that he's come back in and Ryan Ledson and Alan Brown are in there too. But you could see on Tuesday night what Pearson gives to the team. He wasn't just, you know, one, he wasn't flying in for tackles. He was tackling, but I just thought he got on the ball a lot more and was like prompting North End's play. He was getting the head up, having a look round, playing, you know, looking for gaps. He got him going, and it was almost as if he had Ledson as that extra sort of safety net behind him, you know, to go and play. And vice versa as well, Ledson thought, well, I could get on the ball as well if I need to, and, you know, enable Brown to get forward a little bit more as well. So I just think at the moment that is a very good midfield trio to have, two sort of more holders, you know, in Pearson and Ledson. Yeah. And, you know, and then Brown can tackle as well, but, you know, he's pushed Brown forward more into that number 10 role that we saw him in a lot last season.
There's just an extra level of solidity there, isn't
there?
Do you feel like they need? Yeah. I was speaking to Ben Pearson today, and he said, listen, I want to go forwards.
Yeah.
I want to play with the ball at my feet as well. Mm-hmm. But I know that at the moment, probably my main role is protecting that back line.
Yeah, because when we're talking about conceding goals, we're not just talking about it's a leaky two centre-halves or the right-back or the left-backs, you know, at fault. It is that sort of the whole team thing. And I think just having a solid midfield in front of that back line can make, you know, can make a really big difference.
Yeah. What are we, West Brom, I mean, on paper, it's not nice, is it?
It's not, no. After, if you're going to look at the Middlesbrough game as being more of a positive than a late, it probably, with North End having conceded so many goals, to be coming up against the division's top scorers with players like, you know, Dwight Gayle, Jay Rodriguez up front, Matt Phillips is a right wing back, Harvey Barnes behind the front two. You know, there's there's three scoring side and with North End's problem being conceding goals, it's sort of, again, is it a bit of a perfect storm? Could you have done with someone else this weekend? But the fixture list is it is. And, you know, sometimes when you're doing badly, to come up against one of the better sides, it can sometimes just bring the best out of you.
Yeah, comments, questions, get them coming in. Because they're expecting to bounce straight back, aren't they? As you say, you look at that side.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That is what it's all about for them this year, and they've started as they need to go on, really.
Yeah, yeah. I think they lost the first game of the season to Bolton at home, didn't they? Which was very surprising, but they've not lost in the league since then. They're stacking up the goals, 7-1 against QPR, they beat Norwich 4-3 away, they beat Bristol City 4-2 at home. And yeah, they look a strong outfit. They're obviously, they've got good firepower. There's no doubt about that. And then they've kept hold of some of the Premier League players. When they've still got Dawson at the back. They've still got Livermore. They've still got Rodriguez. They swapped Rondon for Dwight Gayle, haven't they? But that, they look to have got the best of that move with Newcastle, don't they?
Yeah, it's not bad at all.
Effectively, they've got a sort of a decent enough Premier League striker in the Championship there. So no, you would expect them to be up there all the way through, I would have thought. And Darren Moore, the coach, seems to sort of, you know, like, he's quite new to management in the fact that, you know, this is his first job as sort of head coach, you know, in the main. But he was on the first team coaching staff before that, and for a long time before he was on their sort of academy, you know, West Brom's academy coaching. So he's coached for a number of years. So they've got a sort of bit of a club favourite there coaching him, and who's a sort of solid figure and probably quite ideal for this division.
Right, as you probably gathered, because we've rabbited along to each other for 10 minutes, and Dave's probably guessed I've technical issues, but we're getting there. And comments are coming in. I wasn't seeing them for about 5 or 10 minutes.
You'll get more money for talking longer. Can I?
Money. Just for the love. Yeah. For the love.
Yeah, sorry about that, didn't I? Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Is our boss is in, isn't she? Mm-hmm. Probably. Anyway, so hello to Ian Holland. Said hello to Ian. Mm-hmm. Hello to Mark Gray, a regular. Hello to Catherine Webster. Everyone, this seems to be a policy. I quite like this. Where you're a fan of the emoji now, Dave, aren't you?
Absolutely. Yeah.
No comments, just waves. Bit of thumbs up there, which I quite like.
I like a thumbs up.
Yeah. So hello there. John Roper is on. John, you're not on here often, but you're
royalty, isn't it?
Royalty.
Absolute royalty.
Of our fans panel, the sort of head figure of the fan base.
And some very good assessments from John.
Yeah.
Spot
on, sort of dissecting what's been a very difficult period. So.
Yeah.
And it is good to have that view, and it's part of the reason we do things like this. Because it's good to interact and get other people's views apart from ours. Anyway, enough of us. John agrees with us. Brown, Ledson and Pearson are the midfield triangle, in my opinion.
Yeah, yeah. At the moment, while they're trying to sort it out and get things right, even if it takes a little bit of edge off creativity at times, which I don't think it does, but it could do, I think that's the way forward at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, look at the other options. You've got Galley in there who brings something different.
Yeah.
DJ has blown hot and cold, would be the understatement. Yeah. He's got two goals to his name, but some other times he's looked like he's...
Yeah.
Let's be fair, there was... Mm-hmm. What was the home game? Was it Bolton? 45 minutes? He looked lost.
Yeah.
But then Sheffield United, he changed the game.
He did when he came on, when did he come on after about an hour or so for Gallagher? Yeah. And, you're thinking, well, what's he going to bring? But no, to be honest, I thought that was probably one of his better performances of the season. I thought for that last half hour at Sheffield United, he drove him forward, got the goal, albeit with a deflection. And he did make a difference then. And but then, obviously, midweek, we didn't see him. He was left on the bench.
Sean Orton, afternoon, fellas. Afternoon, Sean. All the talk of the much needed attacker hold up man, but I think it's quite evident the defence is very shaky, as we've alluded to.
One thing, though, on that, Alex Neil maybe got a little bit lost in how it got reported on midweek. What he was saying is when he was trying to explain that North End are having to go a bit more toe to toe with teams and they're having to pass away out of trouble, and that might be leaving them a little bit vulnerable at the back. So everyone was, shouting via social media, well, don't play that way. But obviously, North End need to... What he was trying to explain, they need to try and play the way out because they've not got that target man up front, to aim for, to bounce it off, to hold off. So I think that's what he was trying to get. So while obviously a lot of focus is on the defence, you can still look at that forward line as sort of, because they've not got a big target man, to go and hold the ball up and let the defence get up the pitch, is that contributing to the defensive you know, frailties. Mm. And I think that was a point Alex Neil was trying to make on Tuesday night, which I think is a valid one.
Yeah, he almost himself kept coming back to it, didn't he? You can always tell when the manager's got a train of thought. There were questions that got steered in that direction that you wouldn't have expected to. But he has a point, and as you said, it leaves him a bit more vulnerable, sort of, in terms of defensively. Sean finishes his point with it's going to be a big point of debate. I'm a big fan of Tom Clark, but I think a Davis-Huntington partnership is what should be on Saturday.
I will go for that as well. I think it was one which served them really well last year. I think while we've not seen the best of Darnell Fisher this season, he is the best. You know, he's the option for the right back at the moment. I think he needs to come back. And Tom Clark has been probably not up to, you know, what we're used to from him. Taking a little bit of stick at the moment. So, as you say, the Huntington-Davis one was a successful sort of partnership last season. He gave Jordan Story a game again in the cup on Tuesday night. He did fine, but the one or two moments he did look a bit shaky. So, you know, probably not the type of game against West Brom, against Rodriguez and Gale that you're throwing in a lad with 18 games under his belt, you know, like in league football. So I go Huntington and Davis, certainly.
Very interesting, wasn't it? We ran the piece yesterday, very well read, but it's an interesting point for Jordan Story, isn't it? Again, Neil very clear about what he thought about him, because a lot of people with a defensive rut have said, listen, the lad played really well at Leeds.
Yeah, put him in, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's difficult, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's, you know, like, it's all sink or swim, really. You know, you could chuck him in and it could end up being Beckenbauer, couldn't he? Or you could chuck him in and it totally gets to him and his confidence shot to pieces, you know. Like,
I think I've seen a point I've seen made, and this is quite justifiable, is the Josh Earle argument. Part of me thinks Early slightly let more out of harm's way. Yeah. Central defence to throw a lad in the Championship is quite a position. If you'd
left back, you're a little bit. But, you know, you're not quite in the fight. You've done very well, Joshua, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
He did great when he came in last season, but, you know, you're able to sort of play himself in almost. You know, I think once Alex Neil talked about how sometimes you get, like, centre midfielders when they're early in the career, the debut comes wider or at right back or something, just to introduce them into the team. But they're not quite in the thick of it, you know, but they're getting used to it. And so I think maybe the thinking is, you know, like, as I say, Josh Earle last year on full-back position, not quite that centre of ours where the ball's been fired up and they've really...
Think about it this way. They lost at Sheffield United, and if he played well, I don't think he was... I mean, I thought he was excellent at Leeds Story, and he wasn't as good on Tuesday night against Middlesbrough. But if Neil then looks at it and goes, right, I could keep him in for his first Championship appearance against Dwight Gayle, you're actually throwing him to Premier League, against the Premier League frontline, aren't you? A lad who, as you say, played less than 20 against Rexter 12 months ago, was on loan at Dorchester
town
in the Conference South, you know. So,
I don't like comparing like for like players or experience for experience, but you go back to, you know, like the younger fans won't remember this, but 1994, North End had a player called Jamie Squires, young centre half. John Beck chucked him in at Wembley for the playoff final. I think he'd had three or four games, dropped Stuart Hicks, an experienced lower division stopper, could put his head on anything, clear balls, everything, fantastic. But for some reason, dropped him an hour before the game. Squires went in, 18-year-old rookie. The second half got torn apart by sort of more experienced Wickham strikers, you know. That was in the playoff final, so it's a bit different now. But, you know, what I'm saying is sometimes you've got to pick and choose your moment to bring in a young player.
And, you know.
And I think from what I've heard about Story, what I've seen about him, going forward, he will be a very, very good player with some more experience. He is 21. You know, he didn't get his debut as a teenager or anything. You know, his debut only came this time, sort of last year, roughly, for Exeter when they recalled him from his loan. So he's a little bit late to the party in terms of age of getting into the team. But for first-team football, you know, when you consider some players are making their debuts now, 16, 17, 18. But I think with time, I think Story will end up being a pretty decent defender.
Yeah, and it's an interesting one, isn't it? I mean, if we do go, just going back a couple of points, we've sort of got way laid on who plays where, but if you go back to Huntington and Davis, you presume Darnell Fisher will, after his League Cup ban, will get a recall right back.
Yeah.
Chris Maxwell's back in goal. You're four of the five that kept a lot of the clean sheets last year. I know it's a different season, I know the low on confidence, but
what you're used to, maybe.
The old tried and tested. Yeah. You know, I know it's a different left back, and left back is a toss of the coin.
I'm just wondering, you know, as well, even, I'm not being a new merchant here, but even if it didn't go well for him on Saturday, for example, I'd keep with it for a little bit. I think it's time to sort of roll with it rather than just sort of trying to pick it apart and swapping one.
I think a lot of people, as John's alluded to on here, would agree with that, having that three in the midfield in front of them. Granted, Brown will push further forward. Yeah. You're defending from the front again.
It is, yeah.
You're defending from the front again properly. Mark Gray, I remember that game, Dave. So there's one.
There you go. There's one. My birthday, that. Ruined my 23rd birthday.
There's one. Yeah. Stephen Whitfield. Hunts and Davis were class last season, so why change? I think the injuries and time have caught up with Tom, unfortunately. Never would I vocalise this at a game. I think this is a reaction. There's been a bit of criticism of a few of the players in terraces during this spell. If he plays, we get right behind him.
To be fair, I don't think the criticism has come during games. It's when you go on Twitter afterwards or during the game.
There's been a couple of moments, hasn't there? Mm-hmm. Actually, tell you what, I'll come to that in a minute. Mm-hmm. Adam Gore, Clark, for all his heroic strikes, tenure has become a bit of a liability. Injuries catching up with him again, and people querying he's fit. And just while we're on the defence, Martin Hadfield. I'd like to see Josh Earle and Ben Davis return to the defence on Saturday. Davis will, 100%. He was rested. He was very much rested.
Yeah.
He was the senior pro they took out of the firing line, didn't they? Unfortunately, can't see what Hughes brings. Seems to get caught out of position a lot for me. Don't need to sound negative.
I thought Hughes started the season well and was doing fine. Then they decided to go with Earle for... Which league game was it? Was it before the international break? Or
it was
just after, wasn't it?
It was when they went to wing-backs.
The Reading game,
when he went to wing-backs.
You could see why they brought Earle in for that, because I think he's a sort of more attacking player. Josh Earle's sort of background is as a winger. But since... I didn't think Hughes had his best game last week when he was brought back in. I just wonder if, again, you need to sort of settle on one of them just for a few games.
I was going to mention, sorry, we're talking about fan reaction. Mm-hmm. Daniel Johnson on Saturday, didn't we? Booed when he came on.
Yeah.
I would always say a section is the word I always use. I'd never forget, you know.
Not massive booing for
me. No, but he heard it because of the goal celebration with the fingers in the
ears. Fingers went in the ears, didn't they? Someone said it was a cup in the ears. I think it was more putting the fingers in the ears, so I don't think celebrations like that are going to help anything, really. So
no, it's not.
You know, I know players get frustrated, but like, come on, you've just scored at Sheffield United to make it 2-0. Let's all enjoy it, you know. And you know, rather than thinking,
I've not really thought about that. But the situation of the game made it a very odd decision, didn't it? Because they had to go and win the game.
Yeah.
So your focus surely is it's the old go and get the ball out the back of the net job, isn't it?
Yeah.
But yeah, as you say, the fingers went in the ears.
I remember Callum Robinson, did he do it a whole last season? He scored that late winner and he did a bit of the cup into the year then, you know. So
was that a director at Northampton?
I don't know. I mean, I remember him doing it. But, you know, no. Sometimes, I don't know. Score a goal, what's both arms in the air or go and shake hands or something.
Mentioning Robbo, nearly giving me the perfect way to go forward, but I do want to mention this comment. I was going to come on to Robbo. Mark Gray, he doesn't ask a question, but I'll ask you a question. Suggest the possibility... Story on loan in January? I wouldn't think so. As a fourth centre half, I think they'd be around the building.
That would leave him at one shot. Yeah. You know, I do think, as I said, I do think there'll be opportunities for him, unless he brought in another one. And the you know, they decided to loan him out.
If you think about the midfield problems they've had, you know, with Pearson, well, you had a game without Brown, Pearson, or Ledson, didn't you? If you think that happens at the back, right?
Reading, wasn't it? Yeah.
Think about Ipswich last year.
Yeah.
And you had a defensive Boyle, O'Connor, and Vermeer, you know.
So, no, I'd be looking to keep all the story, I've got to admit. So,
right. Callum Robinson.
Yeah.
It's not been a great start to the season, but the boy's flying, isn't
he? Oh, he is without doubt. Sort of, he started the season as North End's best player, especially sort of either side of the international break. 4 goals in 5 matches is pretty decent going. He's one who's got a lift from playing international football. I know he didn't quite get the results he would have wanted when he was on international duty, but I just think that experience has really given him a lift. And I think he has, you know, he's been mixed and matched recently between playing down the middle and then playing on, you know, the sort of left, not left wing, but as a sort of left-sided attacker. And to be honest, he's taken very well to this sort of more central role, hasn't he, the number 9. He's not a number 9 in a Hugo type, but he's a, he's playing down the middle, leading the line, and he's doing fine.
He's doing. I think you would think that the ball would be coming back from him, but it certainly isn't.
He looks like a lad with confidence. At Sheffield United last week, when North End was sitting tight in the first half, well behind the ball, almost defending the edge of their own box, Robinson was a bright light up there. He was looking, when the ball did come out of the defence, he was going, he wasn't waiting for it to come up for him, he was going looking for it. He was happy to turn, get on the ball, have a run at the defence. You know, he did look like he grasped a nettle and thought, I want to try and influence this game, you know. And you know, he looks like he's taking his game on another 5 or 10% to me.
Certainly. Mm. Thought it was a number 7 shirt. CR7 brand, I don't know what it is. But
I know. So I had to do that celebration, didn't he, after...
Yes, we had a discussion with unnamed members of the North End staff who told us that there were some thoughts had gone into that, and then it went wrong.
I think you did the wrong way around or something.
Your modern footballer. But listen, four goals in 5 games, you can't really criticise life. But that's the other thing as well. Mm. Just for any place, scoring goal.
Yeah, yeah. So
sounds daft, you know. The ball is finding its way into the back of the net. I've asked predictions, I'm waiting on some. What's yours?
Oh, blooming heck, not again. There's got to be goals in it. Like, we're probably building, you know, North End leakiest defence, West Brom top scorers. We're probably looking at 0-0 here, aren't we? I'll take that. I think last time we played West Brom at home, 2009, it were 0-0. So, I don't know. It sounds negative. If they could get a 1-0 draw, I think I'd be happy with that at the moment. So.
Yeah, I honestly think they want something to build on, don't they?
Mm.
Because the reality is, with the week to come,
Villa away is still not easy, is it? I know Villa haven't started brilliantly, but that's still, you know, one of the sort of stellar fixtures on the fixture card, isn't it? And then Wigan at home next week, local derby. Wigan look well organised from what I saw of them last week, and so you want something to take into those two games, you know, certainly into that Wigan game.
Mark Gray, I'll take a draw. I don't think you're on your own there, Mark.
Sometimes, you know, win's ideal to set you going, but sometimes, said the same going to Sheffield United last week, a draw would be ideal, give them something to build on. They nearly got it and chucked it away. So.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. We shall see on that front. Just another player we got a bit mentioned today and got a bit of a reaction on, certainly when I put the tweet out earlier, from Alex Neil's press conference.
I know what you're going to say.
You asked the question. It wasn't a staunch defence, was it?
No.
Mm-hmm. He said he felt Tom Barkay's coming from undeserved stick.
Yeah.
We discussed on Tuesday night, didn't we? Mm. The Toms weren't particularly in favour, on terraces at the moment.
Clark and Barkay's.
He got his goal.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully that will kick him. I mean, he's not been at full tilt, has he? Alex Neil's point was, listen... What he still offers to us outweighs, you know, whether maybe a bit of down on form, his pace.
He's not playing well compared to what he was doing, but I thought he was better on Tuesday night. He hit the post. He scored his goal. It was a good shot. Mate, you know, the keeper will have been thinking he should have had it, but it went in, it's a goal. That's what counts. And it's the way Neil likes to play, especially if they're going to counter-attack in a bit. He likes the way that sort of... You know, he's not a dribbler like Brandon Barker, for example. He wants the ball ahead of him to run in, you know, to chase it, doesn't he? Running behind defences, and he likes to have that option. Last season he started, was it 43 of the 46 league games? I think by the end of the season he was out on his... He was drained, wasn't he? I think he used every last ounce of effort. And I did ask this morning whether, there was maybe a little bit of a hangover from that going into this season, and... Neil didn't really agree with us on that, but he just felt that, you know, he offered a couple of other reasons, and but probably Barkhazen's like, he's probably like Darnell Fisher this season, like Tom Clark. We haven't seen the best of him compared to what we did last season. Even Alan Brown, to an extent, is only just probably coming back into, you know, he had a decent start and had a bit of a lull, so maybe he could fit Barkey into that, with both
you and I have said it's a perfect storm, isn't it? Yeah. You've had injury suspensions, a lack of form, problems that weren't there last year, certainly defensively, and it's all combined there are positives of the week, but still not one of the league since the opening day. It's a damning stat, isn't it? So we shall see. You mentioned Darren Parkinson, stick my neck out 2-2. I don't think that's sticking your neck out, Darren, to be honest. Scoring two and conceding two, at least a Desmond
2-2. Yeah,
I think if you went to any bookmakers, I won't mention brands, in and around Preston, you would get very short odds on. You won't win a lot of money for that at the moment.
Have you seen there's a Twitter account called the Desmond? And it's celebrated every time a team gets a 2-2 draw. They celebrate Desmond Tutu, USA. All
right.
Tutu, do you get that? No.
No, I know I do, but I used to use it in reference to degrees.
Yeah, you used to get you two. Yeah.
I want to say I didn't.
Yeah, no. First class.
No, I didn't get the first class. I'll clarify that now. The one above Desmond.
But
you won't get very long odds on that, I don't think, Darren.
Might as well pay the bookie.
Pretty much. Had a quick chat with North End today. West Brom selling well.
Yeah.
Their tickets, as you'd expect.
About 2.9 sold in advance, was it? Yeah.
But it'd be interesting, wouldn't it? The crowd wasn't, obviously, it was a League Cup crowd. It was even lower than expected than a League Cup crowd, I think.
But expecting about 6 or 7, weren't they, maybe?
And it was
about 5.
Four and a half North fans, wasn't it? Yeah. And then Middlesbrough. Alex Neil, though, quick to praise the support that was in the ground.
Yeah. Mm. It was a positive support, you know. Yeah. There was no booing or anything, was there? I thought like they got behind the scenes quite well. So.
They did. But that might be that for this week, I think. Yeah. If you are going on Saturday, enjoy the game.
Mm-hmm. What's your prediction, Adam? You always ask for mine. Go on, put you on the spot here.
I will go the other way and say something like 0-0.
No, just total.
Total. The fascinating thing here is that Alex Neil, by his own admission, we've not really addressed it last week, admitted that in a bid to find something, he went completely against his principles.
Yeah.
And had his side sit in with three at the back at Sheffield United. And
Didn't. The fact they were 2-0 down 6 minutes into the second half, that didn't work, did it?
No, it didn't, not at all. Yeah. Not
and
at
it
all.
Didn't look like North End, full stop. So, I know they haven't played well this season, but last week they didn't look like North End.
That was the first 45 minutes, definitely, that reeked of we are trying to find something, anything to get going. We tried this way, we're a bit open, let's sit in and contain them.
Yeah.
And it didn't work because you had, I say, poor old Darnell Fisher had. Left-sided centre halves of running past him, you know.
They overloaded that side, didn't they? They had O'Connell, they had the left back Stevens, they had Mark Duffy coming in, sort of 3-on-1 almost, didn't they? So it didn't work.
Yeah, James. A couple of late comments, and I will wrap this up. James Rice, hi guys. Bad week for North End, but with Pearson and Ledson back, we're in with a shout on Saturday. It just does give the side a completely different look.
I don't think it was quite a bad week with really. Yeah, obviously they did lose to Middlesbrough technically with the. You know, the penalties, but it was better. I just thought some of their attacking play was better. Yeah. But obviously, there's the issue at the back, isn't there?
Yeah. Stephen Whitfield is like me. I'm looking like a game of goals, so I'll go 0-0. And Adam Gore, here we go. I think we might end on this because I don't think it's going to get about on this. 3-0 win for us. You heard it here first. Maybe I'm being a bit ambitious, but something has to give eventually, shortly. It does almost feel like if Alex Neil, you know, the old not far away line, which I know some fans don't enjoy. But there are signs that maybe if things do click together one day, then, you know.
The signs going forward that if they can start clicking a little bit more at the back, they are starting to, they're starting to find a net on a far more regular basis. So the two goals we scored at Sheffield United in the 3-2 defeat was like the first league goals we scored away, you know. But at home they are scoring, aren't they? You know, so
let's hope it's Saturday.
Yeah, yeah. Well, or it could be a 0-0.
And that table looks a bit rosy. Now, thanks for watching. Apologies for the technical problems earlier on. We'll try our best. And if you've joined in late or if you've struggled getting on or whatever, this will be on the website shortly. Thanks for watching.